I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again, and now he reigns in heaven over all things on earth. He is in charge of everything that happens. And it's him we've come to worship. I ask that you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. In Psalms 37, 38, and 39, the psalmist is in the midst of deep struggle. He's being oppressed and he's having a hard time. But yet, during this time, he confidently and patiently waits for the Lord to deliver him. And then here in Psalm 40, it's evident that God has delivered him. And this song is a song of rejoicing. And as I read this, pay attention, as in the middle of the song, there seems to be a transition. And we'll note that transition as we go. So listen to God's word as I read Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they would be more than can be told. Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and of your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. And here comes the transition. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. May God bless the reading of his word and apply it to our hearts. Roughly 2,000 years ago, Jesus became a man, and he lived on this earth for one purpose: to save his people from their sins. So let me ask you, have you been delivered from your sins? Has Christ delivered you from your sins? Well, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then your sins have been forgiven. So yes, you have been delivered. Well, if you've been delivered from your sins, then why do you still sin? And why do you still suffer the effects of sin? There's disease and pain and struggle. There's death. Sin is all around us. If you've been delivered from it, then why do you still suffer under these effects of sin? Have you really been delivered? Well, in one sense, we have been delivered from our sins. Christ has died for our sins and Our sins are washed away through His blood. But in another sense, our deliverance is not yet complete. God is in the process of completely delivering all His people from all of the effects of sin. But He is still in the middle of that process. So in one sense, we have been delivered, but in another sense, our deliverance is not yet complete. You can think of it like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It doesn't happen instantaneously, but rather the caterpillar forms a cocoon, and then over the next week and a half, the caterpillar slowly and progressively transforms into a butterfly. It's a process. Well, we are in the middle of this process. We are in the cocoon. We are no longer enemies with God, but we're not yet conformed into the perfect image of Christ. Our sins have been forgiven through Christ, but yet we still suffer under the effects of sin today. Our deliverance is not yet complete. So we have been delivered already, but we are still waiting for that deliverance to be complete. Well, this is the struggle here in Psalm 40. In the first half of the psalm, the singer is praising God for His deliverance. But then in the second half of the psalm, it abruptly transitions and he pleads to God for deliverance. The singer has been delivered, but is still waiting for that deliverance to be complete. Well, as you find yourself living in the middle of this process, as you face battles and trials and temptations, as you struggle and battle with sin, do what the psalmist does. Think back to your redemption, the fact that God has saved you, that He has delivered you, and then look forward to the day when that deliverance will be complete. Look back and look ahead. So as you praise God for your deliverance, pray for that deliverance to be complete. So let's take a look here at Psalm 40. Look at the first three verses again. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Well, these words flow with emotional joy. This man was stuck in a pit of death. Back in Israel, a pit was often used as a method of execution. A man would be lowered down into a deep, inescapable pit, and he would sink into the mud there at the bottom, and within a few days he would die without food or water. But the Lord has lifted this man out of the pit. The Lord has saved this man's life. He pulled him out of the mud and set his feet upon a rock, and he put a new song of praise in his mouth. This man knew that his life had just been saved, and so he was singing a new song of praise to God. And he was singing it from the bottom of his soul. Well, many people saw this. They saw that this man's life had been saved, and they were hearing this new song that he was singing, and they too turned and trusted in the Lord. They looked at this man's life and they said, I want his God to be my God. This man was marked by praise because God had delivered him from death. Well, do you know believers who are so cynical and discouraging and seemingly hopeless that you would never know that God had saved them from death? Well, too many Christians are like this. And if I were an unbeliever and I met one of these Christians, I wouldn't want to be like that. I wouldn't want to be a Christian. Well, as followers of Christ, we have been delivered out of the pit of death. So we need to change our complaint and our cynicism into praise, into a song of praise to our God who has saved us. Our life should be characterized by praise. Our life should be a life of praise to God. So what do? Do you sing this new song of praise? Do you continually praise God for His deliverance that He's given to you? Or do you act as though it never happened? And do you go around complaining about work or about your family or about the weather, about the government, about the president? We find so many things to complain about. change your complaining into praise. You have been saved by the blood of Christ. You've been lifted out of the pit of death. Your life should be characterized by a song of praise, not a song of complaint. So sing this new song, because God has delivered you. So we can sing this song, because we've been delivered out of the pit of death. But there's someone else who can sing this song, because he has been completely delivered. These words are ultimately the words of Christ. Jesus Christ has experienced perfect and total deliverance by God. Just think about how these words fit Christ the best. It was Jesus who waited patiently for the Lord to deliver him. Jesus went through the cross. He even suffered death. He remained in the grave. He waited patiently for the Lord to deliver him. He could have saved himself. He could have done all these things by himself. But he patiently waited for the Lord to deliver him. And then it was Jesus who was lifted out of the pit of death. 3 days after Jesus had died, God reached into the pit of death and lifted his son out and set his feet upon a rock, never to die again. Jesus has been lifted out of the pit of death. This is the resurrection. And then, well, after he was resurrected, he was in heaven, and he is singing this new song in heaven because he has experienced the full deliverance of God. Now, if you've trusted in Christ, then you're also attached to Christ. You are united to Christ. So whatever happens to Jesus Christ will also happen to you. Because Jesus Christ has been completely delivered, then our deliverance is guaranteed. Because Jesus Christ has been resurrected, our resurrection is guaranteed. The day is coming when we will enjoy complete deliverance. And we will sing this song with Christ in heaven, when we will be in the very presence of God. A while ago, I was watching some rock climbing on TV, and before the climber began his descent upon the rock face, he took a relatively short rope and he tied one end around his waist, and he took the other end and he tied it around a small bag of supplies. And so as he was climbing this wall, that small bag of supplies dangled below him about 10 or 15 feet. And then once he reached the top of the rock, he reached down and he started to pull up that bag of supplies so that he would have them at the top. Well, we are in a sense like this bag of supplies. Jesus Christ, we are attached to Jesus Christ. And he has arrived at the top and he is pulling us up so that we will be with him at the top. Because Christ has been completely delivered, our deliverance is guaranteed. Our complete and total deliverance is guaranteed. We know that someday we will enjoy the full deliverance of God. Well, we live in a battleground, and we face trials and temptations. We battle with sin every day. And oftentimes we can become distracted. We can only focus on these problems in our lives. Well, when this happens, lift up your eyes and look at your destination. You are headed to the top of the mountain. Jesus Christ is at the top, making sure you will someday arrive and you will be with him at the top. You will be fully delivered from all of the effects of sin. And there you will join Christ in singing this new song of praise to God. So look forward to your full deliverance when you join Christ in heaven, singing this new song of praise. So in a sense, we can sing this song today because we have experienced the deliverance of God. Yet in another sense, we look forward to the day when we will experience the full deliverance of God and we will sing this song with Christ in heaven. Well, what exactly is this new song that we sing? The words of this new song are found in verses 4 and 5. Says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds, and your thoughts toward us, none can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. These are the words of the new song. And these words are sung confidently. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. This is a confident statement of the fact. Well, in Psalm 37, this singer was in the midst of deep struggle. He was being oppressed, and he looked around him and he saw all his enemies. He saw all the wicked people of the land. And it seemed like they were prospering. It seemed like it was the wicked people who were being blessed. Well, how did he remain so confident of the fact that God blesses his people when it seemed contrary? When everything seemed like the wicked were being blessed? Well, it says in verse 5 that the singer recalled the countless and wondrous works of God. It says his confidence came from remembering the past blessings of God. And as he remembered the great works of the Lord, it became obvious that it really is those who trust in the Lord who are blessed. Let me ask you a question. How confident are you that the sun is going to set tonight? We're very confident. Why are we confident? We're confident because every day that we have ever lived, and every day that has been recorded in an almanac, the day has ended with the setting of the sun. Our confidence comes from the fact that it has happened consistently in the past. Well, we can be confident that those who trust in the Lord are blessed because it consistently happens in the past. Now, we've all had times of doubt when we're not sure if we believe the right things, when it seems like the wicked are prospering, when Islam seems to be growing faster than Christianity. How do we get rid of our doubt? We get rid of our doubt by remembering the countless works of God. Remember the Red Sea. Remember the walls of Jericho. Remember the triumph of Gideon. Remember when God's angel wiped out 185,000 Assyrians when they were surrounding Jerusalem. These facts prove that God blesses his people. Think of God's countless blessings in your own life, how he has brought you to today, how he has justified you and adopted you and sanctified you. And as you do this, your confidence will grow. And you will be able to sing with confidence this new song. You will be able to sing with confidence that those who trust in the Lord are blessed. So sing this new song by remembering the great works of God. Well, God has blessed us in many ways. And next, the psalm focuses on the single greatest way in which God has blessed his people. Look at verses 6 to 10. It says, "A sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." Now, you may not have noticed, but in these five verses is the prophecy of the life and the death and the teaching of Jesus Christ. The central, single greatest way in which God has blessed his people is that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for us and to teach us the way of salvation. And so as we remember the life and death of Jesus Christ, this single event should give us the confidence to sing this new song, that those who trust in the Lord are blessed. Well, you may ask, where in these verses are the life and death and teaching of Jesus Christ? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, part of Psalm 40 is quoted, and they are quoted as the very words of Christ. I'm going to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10 and listen to the connections that the writer makes. He says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said. So right off the bat, he's attributing these words to Christ. And he continues, here's the quotation. Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrificings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he had said above, you neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings, these are offered according to the law, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When Christ came into the world, he said, I have come to do your will, O God. What was the will of God for him? The will of God was to come to this earth and to obey the law perfectly. And then he had to lay down his life on the cross so that we would be forgiven. This is the life and death of Jesus Christ. I have come to do your will, O God. We are saved only because Jesus Christ did that. While Christ was on earth, what did he teach? He proclaimed the salvation of God in the assembly. In verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 40, it says that he proclaimed God's salvation in the assembly. He did not seal his lips. When Christ was here, he preached and he taught people to repent and to believe. This is the salvation. Jesus preached the gospel while he was on earth. Well, God has blessed us in many ways. But the single greatest way in which God has blessed his people is when he sent his Son to live and to die for us. He came to live and to die for his people. Think of a 16-year-old opening his presents, his birthday presents. And he opens some of them and he gets a CD and some socks and some gum. He gets some good things and he's thankful for them. But then his parents tell him to go look out in the driveway. And he goes and takes a look and there's a brand new car. This car is by far the greatest gift that he was given that day. Well, God has given us many great things. He's given us families. He's given us clothes to wear, houses to live in, food to eat, cars to drive. He's given us abundant things. But they are small compared to his greatest blessing, life in Jesus Christ. This is by far the greatest gift that he could have ever given to us. So as you get bombarded with the problems of this world and as your confidence in God wavers, possibly, remember the life and death of Jesus Christ. This single event proves that God blesses his people. We can't afford to remember this event once or twice a year, but we have to live with this, with Jesus always in our minds, remembering what he had done for us. This is where our confidence comes from. So sing this new song confidently by remembering the life and death of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given to men. Well, finally, we come to the last section of the psalm. Up through verse 10, the singer has been rejoicing because God has delivered him. But now there's a transition in the psalm. And he begins to plead to God for deliverance. Starting with verse 10, it says, starting with verse 11, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. Your iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, "Aha, aha." But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Well, up till now, it seems pretty obvious that Christ could likely be the singer, is likely the singer of this song. These words best fit him. But let me ask you, does Christ sing this last section of the psalm? Why would Christ confess that his sins and his enemies have overtaken him? Why would someone who has been completely delivered and is in heaven plead to God for further deliverance? Can Christ sing these words? Well, here's the beauty of the psalm. Remember that we are united to Christ, and our union with Christ is much more intimate than simply being attached to him by a rope. The analogy of the rock climber falls short. Throughout Scripture, we are defined as the body of Christ, and Jesus is our head. We are one person. Christ so intimately identifies himself with us that he pleads for our deliverance as though it were his very own deliverance. And so Christ is singing these words, but he's singing them on behalf of his body. He is singing these words for us. There was someone at the seminary who was praying for our country to repent of the sins of homosexuality and abortion. And as he prayed, he said, "Please cause us to repent." Now, this guy hadn't committed the sin of homosexuality or abortion, but because he identified himself with this country, he said, "Please cause us to repent." Well, this is similar to what Christ is doing here, except he identifies with us so much more intimately than that. He identifies with us to such a degree that he says, "Please help me. Please save me. My enemies and my sins have overtaken me. Oh God, do not delay." Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for you, his people. And he is interceding so that you will experience one day the total deliverance from sin and from all of its effects. And so as we know that Christ is praying for us, he's praying on our behalf, then we need to join him. And we need to pray for our deliverance to be complete. So you know that sin that you struggle with, the ways in which you are not conformed to Christ, the battles that you face every day, Christ is praying for you to be delivered from those. What a privilege it is to know that Christ is pleading on our behalf. Join Christ in pleading for the day to come when your deliverance will be complete. Join Christ in this prayer that's in Psalm 40. Well, we have the distinct privilege of being united with Christ. We are identified with him, and he identifies himself with us. And as one body, we sing this entire psalm. We can sing this psalm because we have been delivered out of the pit of death. And then we can look forward to the day when we will sing this psalm, when we will be completely delivered from all of the effects of sin. As we look forward to this time when we will sing this song with Christ in heaven, We need to remember the past deliverance that God has given to us. Deliverance has come, but it's not yet complete. In the movie Schindler's List, Oscar Schindler was a wealthy business owner who began to take pity on the Jews who were being slaughtered in the concentration camps. And in order to save these Jews, he had many of them work in his factories. Simply by having them work in his factories, he saved them from being shot or being gassed or being burned. Simply by having them work in his factories, he saved them from certain death. Well, as it's portrayed in the movie, these Jews worked for Schindler happily. And they rejoiced over the fact that Mr. Schindler had saved their lives. But as you know, as they were rejoicing, they still weren't home. They were still in the middle of this war. They weren't completely delivered yet. Their lives had been saved, but they were still working in this factory. They had been delivered, but not yet completely delivered. Well, this is our situation today. Our lives have been saved out of the pit of death, but our deliverance is not yet complete. We are still in the factory working for our Savior. And as we do this, we rejoice because He has saved us, and we look forward to the time when that deliverance will be complete. So praise God for His deliverance. And pray for that deliverance to be complete. Look forward to that deliverance. Look back and look forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You have delivered us. You have delivered us out of the pit of death. Our lives have been saved because through Christ, through His death, through His life, through His resurrection, we have been saved. Our sins have been covered, and we will not experience Your wrath. But Father, as we continue to work in this world, as we continue to serve You and seek to establish Your kingdom on earth, we face trials and struggles. Please help us to remain focused on the fact that our deliverance is coming, that we are united to Christ, and someday we will join Him at the top of the mountain, and that we will sing this song of praise to Him. We pray, Father, that You will keep us as we go, that You will keep this in our minds, that we will remember Your past deliverance and praise You for the fact that our deliverance will someday be complete. We ask these things through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn in your Psalters to Psalm 40. Psalm 40b. We're going to be singing the whole psalm today. And this first part is the song of rejoicing. This first part is when the singer is rejoicing over the fact that God has saved him from the pit of death. So let's stand and sing Psalm 40b and praise God for His deliverance.
Bye. Please be seated. Let's bow in prayer.